people come in, they can just come on in. Come on in. Right? All right, good evening, dear. You know, I hate to say good evening. I always sound like Count Dracula. Good evening. We're so used to morning and afternoon classes, but it's good to see everybody here this evening. And hopefully we'll have a few more people that said they were going to be here coming. Right? But we're going to get started tonight. John, would you open us up in prayer, please? Thank you, sir.
Father, we just thank you. We thank you for the opportunity to learn your word here tonight.
Yes.
We thank you for the anointing, Father, that's going to come forth by your Holy Spirit. And we pray, Father, that by your Holy Spirit, we are moved to be obedient. Father, we thank you, Lord God, that that we know that we all humble ourselves before you.
Yes,
and
thank
that,
you, Lord.
And that we come to you to learn more about what you want us to do and how you want us to do it, Lord God. And I pray, Father, that this word tonight will give us strength, give us purpose, and give us direction on what you want us to do to bring people to you and how we can learn to love them, to encourage them, to even reach out. Father, in the love and faith that you have given us, Father, to encourage others in their struggles. And, Father, by our encouragement, Father God, that we will bring others to you and understand your ways more than the world tries to understand, have them understand its way.
Yes.
And, Father, we just thank you for Bob and Sharon to bring this word to us tonight, and we just pray an anointing upon it and that it will just deliver what it needs to each and every heart here. In Jesus' name.
Thank you, Lord. Give it to Sharon, please. All right. If you remember why we're here, before we start off, we have a young lady visiting us for the first time here. I remember you told me your name would begin with a Nina, something like that?
Naisa.
Very nice name. She was here Sunday. I'm glad I didn't scare her off, at least. See, I told her beforehand that it was going to be a good church service except for the guest speaker. But all the way from down the street. Yes. But it's great to have you with us, and we hope you enjoy the class. We hope you enjoyed Sunday. Good, good, good. You are more than welcome here. And that's what we're going to be talking tonight about is evangelism, right? Personal evangelism. That means each and every one of you. There's all kind of classes on evangelism, on things to do and stuff like that, but it's all a study, when really it should be a personal thing. Evangelism is different to each and every one of us sitting here. There's techniques we can all use, but the greatest thing is to make it personal. We need to use a little bit of common sense in how we evangelize and speak to people. We make it harder, Nancy, on ourselves sometimes, than it should be, right? Because what we're talking about here is simply going out and meeting people. We started off the class last week for a little... We good, Jerry? Okay. For a little... But what we spoke about last week, we said, without a doubt, the Great Commission is what? Jesus said to go into all the world and make disciples of who? Everyone, all nations, right? So the word is to be spoke to everybody. It wasn't a request. It was if, you know, the hockey game isn't on or, you know, you don't have anything else to do. This was his word that we were supposed to go and do this, right? And the second point was, in Acts 1:8, it says he sent his Holy Spirit, right? For what purpose? To give us power to do what? To be his witness. Where? Everywhere. We start at home and work our way out. So if Jesus told us this is something we're supposed to do, and he gives us a power and ability to do it, when we stand in front of him, do you think he's going to accept any excuse that we didn't do it? Can anybody think of an excuse that they could give him that he'd buy? Well, I was too nervous. I didn't know how to do it. No. How to do it is simply be yourself. We had talked about, the first thing is, the first point is, we made was, Where do you think most people get saved at? Church? Malls? Some kind of evangelistic meeting? A home meeting? A class like this? Someone outside speaking to them? Where do you think most people get saved? What was that? Church. Yes, church. What? Nancy, you're an exception to a lot of things. Actually, the statistic is that 65% of all people that were saved, and we're talking about in the United States, not worldwide, United States, 65% of all people that are saved were saved and met the Lord in a church. A Sunday morning service, not a service like this, not a home meeting like we have several going on, but actually in a Sunday morning service. So if that's where most people get saved, and we want to see people get saved, right? How do we get them in? So let me ask you another question. What do you think the reason is that most people are in a church? Because they had a need? Because what was the reason? They just walked in? They were looking for a church? What do you think the main reason that most people in a church say that the reason they showed up there the first time? That's it. We hope God's calling them, yes. But somebody, a friend, a relative, or somebody invited them out. So if 65% people are saved in a church, and 79% of the people in a church are brought there by the people in the church inviting them out, what do you think we ought to do? Pastor John, sir.
Invite him out.
Invite him out. Thank you. Right? Who's to invite him out? The pastor? Eddie? Eddie? Yeah. It's a congregation. You know, that's not the pastor's job. The pastor's job is when we bring them in, they build them up, they edify them, they teach them, right? To be set out to bring other people in. It's our job, the congregation, to invite people. Does anybody run into people? You know, there's a lot of people out there. We act like it's something foreign. Well, where am I going to go find these? Walk out the door. To invite people out, though, to your church, you have to make sure that you're in a good church. And what we said about a good church was one that shows the love of God and an edifying church. In other words, it's run governmentally right. It's teaching the true word of God. It's a place that people can be built up and hear the right word, right? Now, I'm sure we all agree that this is a good church or we wouldn't be sitting here, would we? Amen? So without a doubt, people can get saved in this church. God's action can be taken. God is here when they walk through those doors, right? All right. So we said there was four steps that would help us in the fact that we are the ones that's supposed to bring people in, and once they get in here, work with them. The first thing was what? Guess what the first thing is, John? What were we just doing a minute ago? Praying. Everything starts with prayer. Nothing starts without prayer. Prayer is the point man. Prayer is the first thing to go out. Every great revival started with prayer. Everyone that's sitting here had somebody praying for them or they wouldn't be sitting here. Praying grandparents, praying friends, praying aunts. Somebody was praying for you. Even John there. I'm sure somebody was praying for you. I pray for you all the time, John. But somebody was praying for us, right? And we need to do the same thing. That's why we mentioned about making a prayer list with people that we feel God is calling. If the Holy Spirit isn't moving them and calling them, there's nothing we can expect to do. When the Spirit is moving and calling them, that's when we can be used, right? But how do we know that? Sometimes we don't, so be ready to talk to anybody. You're not sure if the Spirit's moving them, but don't be offended if they don't accept the word. My goodness, they didn't accept Jesus, ran them out, sick the dogs on them, right? So we can't expect any better. But there's no one that we shouldn't be willing and actually want to share the word with when we meet them. But it starts out with prayer. I mentioned about a prayer list. Pastor John in the back there, way back before we give our age away, Pastor, way back when we first come to the church. Well, actually, it was before we come to the church. Donna and my wife, We found a old prayer list. Pastor John used to have, he would have a list of things to pray for and people to pray for. And two of the names, well, there was only two names on the prayer list. It was Eddie's and mine. So, you know, one out of two is not bad, right? So prayer is very important. So prayer, we're not sure. You have to decide that. We don't know which one of us. But prayer is very important, right? Who would have thought, you know, years back that we weren't even coming to church, that, you know, we're here and actually teaching classes and supposed to be leading other people, right? Somebody was praying for us. Pastor John back there in his home meeting was praying for us. It's important to make a list. That helps us remember things. That's how businesses work. They have to-do lists. They have schedules, right, of what to do each day. Make out a prayer list and keep it handy and pray for those people daily. And what to pray for is that God open a path for you to be able to speak to them. God to open their hearts to be able to hear what you have to say for them. We said the first people to put on the list are those closest to you, family, close friends. Then you start going out, people you work with, people you meet on a regular basis, like my poor mailman. I jump him all the time. He parks right next to my house. He's never going to learn. I'm always out there talking to him. Nothing big. I don't run out and say, you're going to hell. You know, that's ridiculous. Just start up a conversation to start with, right? How you doing? And go from there. But the first thing, and that's where we ended last week, was to make a prayer list and start praying for those people that God has put on your heart that you want to see changed, right? And pray for them on a daily basis. That keeps them on our mind. Because we're easily forget, we're easily swayed, aren't we? Second thing, and that's where we're going to start off today. The second thing and the most important is, well, if you notice here, I've got a little kit. You know, in the stores, they sell those vampire slaying kits. Have you ever seen those? I was on eBay here a couple days ago, and it said vampire slaying kit. I said, what? I got to see this. Like a bow and arrow and a stake and a hammer and stuff. You know, and I thought, well, people are prepared for something that doesn't exist, right? So shouldn't we be prepared for something that does exist? And the first thing was prayer, like we talked about last week. Always have a little bit of oil to anoint somebody, to pray for them, you know. Just look for an opening. I used the example of a guy in the airport, just said he had a headache. I just started praying for him. You know, most people, if they're not going to tell you, oh, get away from me. Just if you know, somebody says something, do you mind if I pray for you? And just start praying for them. Lay your hands on them and pray for them, right? But make sure that it's a genuine prayer. If it's somebody that, people can tell a phony. You have to be able to say, I love that person and want to see them saved. Now, who here hates somebody enough that they want to see them go to hell? Nobody. So we should be able to pray earnestly for anybody that we meet, right? They're no different than we were. I don't care. The worst person out there is probably better than Eddie was. Amen. And I was worse than Eddie. So. John, your name's on that list, brother. But the second thing, this is the first part of our heathen slaying kit. We want to, why? Now listen, the word says that the old man must die for the new man to come forward, okay? We're talking spiritual here, not physically, okay? We want to see the old man die, the old woman, right? That the person that we were die. So that's what we always carry a little bit of oil to anoint things, to pray for people and stuff like that, but always look for an opening to pray for somebody. More people will be receptive to that than what you might think. Very few people are going to tell you to get away from me. You know, they might not, you know, make a big deal out of it, but prayer has its own power. We don't have to explain prayer. It has its own power, just like the word. You just have to use it, right? Don't explain it to them. Well, I'm going to pray for you and pray. Prayer does it. No, just pray for them. God do the work. We have to remember, I think I said, we have to work with a mindset that everything counts on what we do, but pray knowing that everything really counts on God doing it, right? We can do nothing. It's all God's work. Can a hammer stand up and say, I built that house? No. It's just a tool to be used, and that's what we are. But we can be very effective tools. Never sell yourself short. I mentioned that Sunday. Do not sell yourself short. Every one of you has the answer to everything, and that's what? Jesus Christ and Him crucified, right? You have the authority to change things in His name. Walk out with a boldness wherever we go. Walk in. Somebody's going to take, anywhere you're at, somebody's going to take over. It should be us, in the name of the Lord, right? All right, the second thing is to invite people to service. That's what we're talking about. That's the main gist, right? 65% of people are saved in a church. 79% of them are here in a church because somebody invited them. So that's what we need to do. We need to do all kind of things. We go out, you know, right now we're out evangelizing in the entire city, right? Door to door. But the best approach and the most effective is a personal. And that's each and every one of us. Fred meets people that I will never meet. Same way with John. Meets people that I would never meet. Right? So they have to be open to that fact that wherever you're at, that's your ministry field. We're supposed to go out, like the young lady said here, Samaria, ends of the earth, right? But we start at home. And if you can't be effective here, if we can't be effective here, what makes us think we're going to be effective in China or Mexico? It has to start at home. Why is this important? Why is it important to invite people out? The main reason is, like I said, is that's where most people get saved. But it's an opportunity to see a caring congregation, a congregation that cares. A lot of people come in here with the idea that nobody cares. Before most of us were saved, we didn't think anybody cared, did we? The greatest thing that people are looking for is acceptance and love. And we're in a church, we hear that all the time. Pastors hear that all the time. When people come in here, the greatest thing they felt was the love. We talked about that last week. How can we feel love for them? How can they feel love for themselves from us unless we love each other? And we talked about having the proper respect within the congregation, all of us that are here for each other, proper respect, correct? And the love. If we can't love each other, if we can't love our brothers and sisters that saved, how in the world are we going to love the unsaved? But we do have that going here. So that's something that we need to be able to share when people come in, is that love, that we do care for them. And that's what people are looking for, acceptance. They know something's missing in their life. We don't have to tell them they're going to hell. When I was a sinner, nobody had to tell me I was a sinner. I knew I was. I just didn't know what to do about it, right? The first thing is for people to feel that you care about them personally. And I'm going to use, what was it? I'm sorry on the name again. I like that. But Sunday was your first day, right? Did you have all kind of people coming up and talking to you? I was standing in the back watching. We had four new people out this Sunday, and it was great. There was people coming up and speaking to you, probably half a dozen people, without being told to go do this, were coming up and speaking to you. Not just me, but just people that were in the congregation, just come up and start introducing themselves. First time here, is there anything we can do for you? Did you feel loved?
I felt welcome and loved.
There you go. Like I said, I was worried with that guest speaker we had last week if you'd come back. So come back this week. Pastor John will be speaking, right? Yep, you'll get a good message this week.
Thank you very much.
But we have to remember, when people come in here, by the fact that they're coming in, they're telling you they're open. They're open to receive. They're not going to receive anything if you just look back at them from your pew and go, how you doing? You, yeah, you. New guy back there? How you doing? How you doing? Right? He could tell how much I really loved him, didn't he? Find out why people are here. Do you know somebody? I think I asked you that question. How did you get here? Who did you know? Somebody? She's walked in. That's great. There's nothing wrong with that. We were talking about how to invite people out to the service. And we said, of course, first thing was prayer, asking for wisdom on how is the best manner to invite them, the people we come across. There's no like one set story or one set way to do it to everybody. Be open to the Spirit. Listen to people. Most people don't want your advice. They want you to listen to them. The best way, and when you first meet somebody, is listen to them. Listen to their problem. Don't keep jumping in and telling them what to do. Listen. They want to pour their heart out. It's hard to find somebody to listen, right? And we also in prayer ask for a boldness to be able to offer that. I see some people out, I've seen people out witnessing in malls and stuff, the saddest looking people. Hi. My name's Bob. I'm saved. Lord loves you. You could be like me. Oh, Lord, I'm following that guy, right? We laugh, but there is people out there that I run into people all the time, walk up, hi. I know what they're going to do. I play along, yeah. Hi, who are you? And they start with some of the dumbest things. And, you know, they. That's why it's great to be in a good church that teaches the Word, because you have to know the Word to take it out. Some of these people are out trying to evangelize and don't even have the slightest idea about the Word. That Jesus loves you. Well, how do you know that? Well, his Word tells me. Where in His Word does it tell you that? You'd be surprised some of them don't even know that. How can you go out and share God's love when you don't even know where it's at? Well, I heard Eddie told me once that God loved me. It's a personal thing, right? And learn something about them. If somebody's complaining, people are always going to pour out their troubles. You know, that wife, that husband, my dog, I'm sick. There's always an opening when somebody comes in. I was just looking for some prayer or something. Well, why? Well, you know, I was diagnosed with cancer. Well, what a coincidence. I just had cancer. It's not a death sentence. I'm still here. Let me pray for you. If you meet somebody that's been in the military, I was in the Marine Corps. I have a heart there that if I meet somebody that's in the service, I was speaking with a guy today while I was getting my hair cut that was in the service. You know, some people just stop at that period in their lives and don't go on. You know, there's something else out there. But always look for something that you have in common with them. If not, know everybody in the congregation. We mentioned that last week, too. Know the other people around you, what their likes and hobbies are, right? If I'm talking to somebody and I find out he's a golfer, hey, Ray, come here. You know, this is, he's new here. He's a golfer just like you. Let them start talking, because I don't know one end of a stick from the other about golf. I know nothing about that, but if it's something that that person cares for, that's an opening to be able to talk to them. Pastor John back there is one of the greatest at doing that. He'll find something out. He does it all the time. Bob, come here. Ed, come here. This guy works for GM. Anything that he thinks you might have in common, that's going to draw that person in a little bit. You have a point to start talking to that person. And that's not like we're trying to con him or anything. That's just an opening point. Don't think that we're trying to lead or pull people, but we are, aren't we? We're trying to lead them. Because what do we want? We want to see them saved. Somebody had to push us a little bit, didn't we? None of us come running in here, I need the Lord. Pray for me, somebody in there. We had to be pushed. Some of us had to be pulled. I think you were cattle prod when you come in, wasn't it, Eddie? When we're out in our jobs or wherever we go is our ministry field. Nancy, share what you and John did today. Give her the microphone. Hold on, microphone's coming.
Well, John and I went to lunch today at Tim's Coney Island, and we have this regular waitress, and she waits on us all the time. And today her shift was over, so she comes over to us, and she says, I'm leaving you guys. I'll see you again. All of a sudden, she started pouring out her whole entire life.
What a coincidence.
How bad her life has been and these loser guys that she was with and all this kind of stuff. And then she was telling us about she was saved. And she goes, I don't know why I'm saying all this stuff. So it was like, it was such a confirmation because I know that's God. And God opened that door and we'll be able to minister to her, you know, because she wouldn't have heard us before. She would never have heard it, but she opened that door with us, and so I think that that was a good thing. So I'm excited about now being able to share with her.
Actually, she didn't open the door. You guys did. I know good and well you always pray, Lord, here I am. Use me. If you can use me today. Before we go out anywhere, pray to be used, right? Here I am, Lord, use me today. This is my mission field. Anytime I walk out the door, wherever I go, we meet people. And that's the ones that need saved, people, right? So always look for that opportunity. And if you pray, most of them will come your way. You would be surprised the things, like we always kid about coincidence, how people just come up. What a coincidence. They just come up and started talking to you, of all people there, right? It's amazing. You just have to be open. The Lord and the Holy Spirit do all the hard work. They send people your way. There's not enough workers to go around. So if you've got somebody like the Clintons here that are willing, you're going to get used, right? Now, and they did it perfectly. They didn't jump on her and say, I know everything you need. It was an opening that you listened to her. The next time she'll, and you take a time. Pastor John was sharing about while he was on vacation, a guy kept meeting in the lounge or the bar or something, wasn't it, at the place? Remember you said you didn't get to pray for him except for the last night you got to pray for him? See, there's so many. But you mentioned the story about last when you were on vacation. Not this time, I think, when you went somewhere. I forget where you said you went, but you kept running into the same guy somewhere. And each day you just brought it a little bit more and a little bit more till the last day that you were there. Before you left, you said, can I pray for you? And he let you. Well, hold on. Give him the microphone. Hold on, Pastor. Don't go, Nancy. You got more stories.
You threw me off because I wasn't on vacation. I was actually at a conference.
Oh, okay.
I was staying at this hotel.
Oh, that's right. Yes.
And I was talking to the night clerk. You know, I'm a night person, so I'd walk down there in the lobby and was looking around and seeing what I could do or talk to or read or whatever, you know, and I started talking to the night clerk, and every day we got a little bit more on different subjects, and by the second night already, actually, he was already telling me all about his life. And so it was either the third or the fourth night, he was just telling me about how he was basically felt like he was alone in the world. He was living there with his family, was back in another state, and I asked him if he'd ever considered going to church and meeting some people there, and he hadn't, but he wasn't opposed to church, and we started talking about God and about how God, you know, cared and how he put the lonely in families, and it just went on and on and on. And by that evening, he ended up in the midst of phone calls from, you know, calling the front desk and stuff. There was a quiet period that ended up lasting for about 45 minutes where he didn't get any calls. Nobody came in.
What a coincidence.
And we got to pray, and he accepted the Lord, and it worked out great. Yeah, it was really good. And I even called him back about a month later after there just to see how he was doing, and called there at night because I knew he was the night clerk. So I just called him up and just checking up on him, seeing how he was.
That is a perfect example of the way to do it. Just be yourself. Pastor John just loves to talk to people anyway, right? Most of us loved Donna. She talks to dead animals and stuff. She'll stop at roadkill and talk to them. How you doing? Some people have that gift. Some of us are a little, not as quite speak to people that easily. But yet, no matter the shyest among us, do talk to somebody. We do talk to people that aren't saved, no matter how shy we are, right? There are people that come across our path. You don't, John, hold on. This feels good not to run the microphone.
I was just going to say, even like today when we went in the restaurant, you know, she came to us, but I think it's more, even if you're shy, you can be prepared. And if you're prepared, you have the ability to speak what God's putting on your heart. And if you go back, and I say this, I've told this to people in the past, is that sometimes, you know, I'm on a prayer team, of course, and I'm an intercessory prayer, but sometimes on Sunday when you're scheduled for the prayer team, I remember one Sunday I said, I don't know if it was just a mood that I was in, but I just didn't feel like I wanted to do prayer that day. I don't know if you've ever felt like that. It was just an emotional thing. It was like, oh, I was just having this issue. But I went up anyway. And when somebody came up to me, I had to shut down myself. And I had to say, God, I know you love them. Just give me something to speak to them. And it turns out that several times when that's happened, the Holy Spirit worked more powerful in that situation than it would have been if I'd gone up there thinking, well, I'm going to pray for this person because I'm here. Mm-hmm. You know. But it was, if you stop and you think about how much God loves them, then you can speak from the spiritual aspect of the prayer that you're giving to people, and that makes all the difference in the strength and the power.
Absolutely.
I remember one time, I'll give you an example, somebody brought somebody up to me to get prayed for, and I spoke into their life. I had no knowledge about who this guy was, but I spoke, I prayed for them, and I spoke into their life. God gave me some prophetic words, mm-hmm. and when I was done, the person that brought him up said, Did you know him or anything about him? I said, no, nothing. He said, everything you spoke to was exactly what he needed to hear. So you know that that's the Holy Spirit, and you trust in those things because the Holy Spirit is there. If you trust God and you
yes.
feel the love of God, the Holy Spirit will move in your life.
Absolutely.
I guarantee it.
Absolutely. He put it most beautifully. I have that. That was the next thing I was going to say. You can't speak into anybody's life unless you already have a relationship with them. If you've already been hospitable to them, nice to them, help them out, and they know that you care, you can speak into their lives a lot more easily, right? Somebody that you've met, somebody you have, even if it's a casual relationship, it makes things a lot easier, right? Yes, I'm hospitable in a hospital. Anybody that brings me food is my favorite. I don't sort them out. I love them all. Just bring me some food. But when we're out there, our main focus should be, of course, first, those that aren't attending a church, those that aren't saved, right? And most of the time, you know, they don't have to have a sign on them that I'm not saved. We know, don't we? You're known by your spirit. That's why people are drawn to us. It's because, not that we're great people, it's the spirit in us, right, that draws them. They feel that love. The same way you can feel the unlove on people that come up, right? Because you can feel the hurt that that lady had, right? Those are the people that we need to look for. And those are the people that, believe it or not, will be directed our way. Those that don't attend a church in any way should be our first and main focus. What did Jesus say? I come to preach to the good people? No, just the opposite, wasn't it? I don't come for the well, I come for the sick, right? Those that need the Lord. So one of the main things to do is to look for those. There's nothing wrong with sometimes people come up and they're a member of a church, but they're not really satisfied with their church. We're not out to steal people from any church of anybody else's. If they're happy and they're getting fed there, amen, right? There's plenty of good churches. I was out with Pastor Don this morning at that. They have a breakfast for a lot of the pastors here in the Downriver area. It was great. There's some great churches around here. We're not the only great church, you know. God has churches all over the place. It's just shameful that we only hear about the bad ones in the news. You don't hear about the good things, do we? But there's a ton of good churches, and we don't want to take anybody from a good church, but there are churches out there, I hate to say it, but I will say it, that aren't speaking the Word of God. They're not teaching the Word of God. People aren't getting fed there. Now, we don't want to see people in church. We want to see people saved, build up, right? So there's nothing wrong with talking to them. I think I shared last week about my dentist's office. my dentist was a pastor, and I was talking to his receptionist, and he threw him out of the church and me out of his office. But he wasn't actually getting fed there. He wasn't. So I did not feel bad in any way telling him that I thought he needed the Holy Spirit and he needed to get in some place that spoke about the Holy Spirit, not to some place that denied it. And I think he's better for it. But it's very surprising, too, that people that are in a church, even if it's a bad church, which I'm not saying that everybody's in a bad church, but even if they are in a bad church, it's hard to get people away from it. They just get used to it. Give you an example. Kevin Motz. When I was in the hospital praying for him, I went up there. I think it was the first day I went to visit him. I met, there was a couple other ladies up there with him that come from the church that Kim and Kevin were at for a while before they come back here. And this one lady said to me, "Do you remember me?" And I looked there, and I did. I kind of remembered her. She comes out all the time when, remember there's a whole row of them when Prophet Trout comes into town, you know, because they don't have that in their church. All right? This lady said, "Do you remember praying for my daughter?" I said, "No, honestly, I do not." She said, "It was about 18 months ago." She said, "You prayed for her. There was, since we don't know who her, I'm not uncovering her, there was a spirit of addiction over her daughter," I said, "and I prayed for her and stuff." She said, "From that moment on, her life changed." Not by me. It was just she was ready, the Holy Spirit was ready, everything, prayed for, she got set free. So what'd she do? Goes back to her old church. Do you remember here maybe a couple years ago, the one lady stood up during service and said that she'd got healed in the service before. God told me to go over and pray for her. I went over and asked her, "Is there something wrong?" God just showed me like her head, you know, "Can I pray for you? She had a problem with her neck. She's had for 14 years that she's in constant pain, was on all kind of those nasty pills that everybody gets hung up on." And I said, "Well, God asked me to come over and pray for you." She didn't want me to pray for her. She actually said, "I've been to every place. Benny Hinn even prayed for me once and I didn't get healed." Well, you know, Benny Hinn prayed for you, you know. Nobody will ever hear. But I said, "Well, you do believe God sent me. How'd I know that you had a problem or something?" She said, "Yeah, go ahead and pray for me." I prayed for her, and she came in that 14 years. She came in that next night and said God had healed her. God had touched her here. So what'd she do? "Well, it was good meeting you guys," right back to where she was. It's hard to get people that are in a church, even if it's a bad church, out. That's why our main focus should be on people. We'll do a lot better if we focus on people that aren't in a church, aren't saved. You're a lot better off. Even if they're unsaved in another church, it's hard sometimes. That's my only point there. And be persistent. I'd mentioned this a little bit. Let's go back to our vampire kit here. I keep this in my glove box of my car. It's kind of thick. I hate carrying something in my pocket, but I keep it in my glove box. Anytime I go in anywhere, it's just an automatic habit. I go in someplace to get some gas. I go into a store, and what it has in here is the church cards. You are invited. What a simple thing. But what a powerful thing it can be. Remember last week I said that a guy got saved once because he seen one of these on a refrigerator in a crack house where he was sitting next to, was going to kill himself. But it seems like a small thing, but you'd be surprised. After you pray for somebody, you know, if you need anything else, you know, give us a call. If you know anybody that's looking for a good church, man. All right? That's it. No big thing. Most people aren't going to throw it in the trash. It's going to go somewhere. You would be surprised where those things go. But what a simple way to have an opening to minister to somebody. Most people take that card and stick it in their pocket. And when they pull it out, they're going to think of us again too, aren't they? And if I'm hurting, what a coincidence, if I'm hurting and just happen to pull this out, what am I going to do? You know, maybe I'll call these people. Ain't got nothing to lose, brother. What do you think?
You can try it, bro.
I need, okay. All right, thanks. I'll go give them a call. It seems like a simple thing, but it's something to leave with them. You know, it's sometimes kind of awkward after you pray to somebody or talk to somebody when you walk away. This is a good way to say, you know, here, if you need anything more, anything we can do for you, and invite them out. That's the very next thing to do when you hand them that card, is invite them out. You know, if you're not attending a church, tell them when your services are. Invite them out. Inviting someone out is like forgiveness. What does Jesus say on forgiveness? 70 times 70. Don't push it, but always look for those people that are around you, those people that you work with, those people you see all the time, like that young lady you were talking about. Always use that opportunity to invite them out. Don't push it. You know, we have a prayer team at church. If you ever, you know, need prayer, come on out. We'd be happy to pray for you. There are children's that we got a great children's church. You know, if you come on out, you know, it might help with the children. Whatever it is, we got a program here for it, right? And what's that answer? Jesus Christ. Remember, that's our entire focus. But always use an opening. The same way when we meet new people, they come in for the first time when we see them, remind them of all the different things that we have going. Home meetings. I'm sure that somebody brought up the different classes and stuff on the bulletin. Yep. That's how she got here tonight, right? Somebody mentioned that and invited her. I don't know who it was, but that's what we're... Leave them with something. You know, tell them, we have like home meetings. You know, there's all kind of Bible studies. There's intercessory prayer, youth meetings, children's meetings. And then don't just leave it at that. A lot of times we'll say that and just leave it. If they see a spark about it, they ask a question, well, what do you mean by home meeting? What is a home meeting? You could sit there and explain it to them. I said, well, hold on. Here's the home group leader. Eddie, could I see you a minute? This is one of our home group leaders, and let Eddie explain it, invite them out and stuff. If somebody's really interested in the Word, grab somebody that runs a Bible study and say, well, this is John. He does a Bible study on Thursday or something. You know, John, come here. Would you introduce him to there? Don't just throw something out there. Make it a personal something. The same way when people need prayer. We have a great prayer team up there. Always ask them or invite them up for prayer. You know, at the end, we have prayer if you need prayer or something. We have a prayer team always up here at the end. Stop, you know, come on by. Stop at the end. And don't just leave it at that either. Go up with them. Say, we have a prayer team up here. I know that you have some, I think you need some prayer. At the end, I'll take you up and introduce you. Because a lot of people are reluctant if they see somebody like, we got some scary people on the prayer team. To a new person, it seems that way, right? Wow, this is this great godly person up here. I don't want to talk to them. But that's where we say, well, can I, if at the end I'll come by and we'll go up and I'll introduce you and you can get some prayer, right? People are more apt to do that. So always practice being hospitable to people. Be friendly to anyone that walks in there. Whether you invited them or somebody else invited them does not make any difference, does it? You know that they're open. They're here for a reason. Try to find out what that reason is. Don't be prying. Just, you know, start talking to them. The Holy Spirit will show you what they need. We have to remember, too, sometimes we get to focus on our friends and the people that are here that we love. And I love everybody that's here. Well, most of you. And we always want to talk with our friends, don't we, on Sunday. Right? Like, I see Eddie and Donna up here every day after church. They're up here sitting right about there. And it's always their home group just jump on them. Well, it's because they love them. They want to talk to them, you know. They want to be with them. We want to be with our friends, you know. You see them on Sunday. You see them on Wednesday. You like these people. I always want to. But spend more time on a Sunday morning meeting people that you don't know. Sometimes the worst thing you can do is jump on your home group leaders. You can see them Wednesday. Let them talk to somebody like this young lady that they've never met before. If you've never met someone, don't leave here. We had 4 visitors, and I talked with each and every one of them. And like I said, you had all kind of people talking to you. Each one did. I'm very proud of that. But is there too much? No. No, if she hadn't felt that love, I'm speaking for you, and I hope I'm speaking the truth, but if she hadn't felt that you were loved and cared here, you wouldn't be back. None of us would. I wouldn't.
You already know.
But that's the greatest thing we can do, is not spend time with each other. We can see, you can see your brother and sister anytime, right? You can go over to Don and Eddie's house anytime. They'll give you some coffee and some bad advice, right? But Sunday, spend that time when you see somebody new, talking and ministering to them. That's what's important. You may not see them again. We had to chase one lady out the door. Mark Hoagland. One of the new ladies that came in before I got a chance to talk to her, other than to say hi when she first come in and introduce myself, she went and sat down. In the middle of service, she took off and left. I'm thinking, whoa. Or the middle of praise and worship, I'm sorry. I'm thinking, wow, was Pastor John that bad today on his praise and worship? What did somebody offend her? Why all of a sudden did she just get up and walk out in the middle? Because she seemed real happy when she came in and everything. So Mark's wife had already talked to her, Sandy. So I said, Mark, why don't you go out there and see what's going on? He went out there and she had to leave because she had to pick somebody up at the airport. She thought our services started a little bit earlier than they did. She said she apologized and she would be back. But there again, just the fact that somebody followed her out there and cared is what makes that difference, right? That we noticed her. Don't ever let somebody come in here and not be noticed. That is the worst thing we can do. Look for the new people. We have the greeters out there. We have the visitors package. Did I give you one of those when you first come in? Yeah. That is a great... If you're not great at knowing how to open up and start a conversation with somebody, the hardest thing for most people to do is to start a conversation. It's kind of awkward if you don't know anybody. And that's one great way. Hi, this is a visitor's package. I notice you're new. And, you know, I don't have that problem, but a lot of people do have a problem with that. But God has made it so easy. He's given us the power. Yes, Pastor, give him the microphone in the back.
Just a little additional thought to that. Sometimes when you say to somebody you might be new, then it can be embarrassing if they say, actually, I've been here about 6 weeks now. So I would recommend not saying that, you must be new. You just say, I don't believe I've ever met you. Or we've never been able to talk before. And then if they say I'm new, you say, oh, okay, that's why I didn't. So if you are, I'd like to give you this, you know.
That's a great point too. And if I think I talked about that last week. Make sure you know everybody that's here. That's embarrassing. Well, hi, are you new? No, I've been coming out for 6 weeks. Oh. Yeah. That shouldn't happen. Every week our focus should be to look up, stand up and look and see who's new here, right? There's no reason not to. God gave you two eyes and two legs. Well, Esther, one. But she can stand on it, one good one, right? And look around. And I know she does that. Look and see who's new. Right? You'll never be new again. Remember that the most important thing is that each one of us is that God can use you. I don't care how unusable you are, Nancy. Nancy thinks she's the most unusable woman in the world, but she has so many gifts, it's pitiful. She is an excellent teacher. People love her like that, but she's a little bit on the shy side. And there's nothing wrong. There's plenty of us. Like, I'm really shy. I just cover it well. And everybody knows it. Speak of shy, what do you think of Pastor Don, right? You know, he's a poster child for shyness. Ashley, you didn't have to laugh that loud. Write that down, Pastor. Look at that. Okay. But there's no excuse. Even the most bashful of us can still go out and minister, because it's not hard. It's just talking. We can all halfway talk to people. And that's all this is about, is just talking to people. See, now, I'm kidding her because she says that to me every Sunday morning when I'm working the microphone.
Sometimes people think they don't have any gifts, and I actually remember saying this to Nancy like probably 10 or 15 years ago, that Nancy, it's not do you have gifts, you are the gift.
Amen.
You know, right. And, you know.
That's right.
There are so many of us, you know, we might think sometimes, you know, like, well, what do I have to share with that person? What do I have to give? What do I have to do?
Just one. Thank
you. But God can use us to be a gift to them. You know, just like Jesus was a gift to us, like the Holy Spirit was a gift to us. When we bring Christ to that person, when we bring the Holy Spirit to that person, we're the gift. You know, we're bringing the gift to them. And we don't have to come bearing gifts. We come being the gift. Yeah.
Amen.
And just by being welcoming, by being caring, appreciative, understanding, concerning, loving, prayerful, whatever it is,
yep.
By being that way, we're the gift.
Amen. I'm glad you brought that up, because that's a perfect lead-in to the fifth step. Here is gifts. Everybody has a gift, an ability, or a talent of some kind. Everybody, Nancy, has a gift, an ability, right? I want you to hear a scripture. My lovely wife is going to read a scripture here. If you would read that, honey, please.
1 Corinthians 12, 1 through 11. Now about the gifts of the Spirit, brothers and sisters, I do not want you to be uninformed. You know that when you were pagans, how somehow or other you were influenced and led astray to mute idols. Therefore, I want you to know that no one who is speaking by the Spirit of God says, Jesus be cursed, and no one says, Jesus is Lord, except by the Holy Spirit. There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of workings, but in all of them and in everyone, it is the same God at work. Now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To one there is given through the Spirit a word message of wisdom, to another a message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by that one Spirit, to another miraculous powers, to another prophecy, to another distinguishing between spirits, to another speaking in different kinds of tongues, and to still another the interpretation of tongues. All of these are the work of one and the same Spirit, and He distributes them to each one just as He determines.
Let's take a look at what the Lord is trying to show us here. There's a lot there, but it's something that we need to understand, because everybody has a different gift and ability. And why do you have a gift and an ability or a talent? To use it. Acts 1:8 we used earlier. What does it say? I will give you power. The power is what? The Holy Spirit. To do what? To look pretty? To look real fabulous because you can pray great and have words over people? Right? Be a prophet like Ed and have all these great words? That's what it's about, right? No, what's it say? We're to be a witness. That's what it's all about. Any power that we have, any gift we have, is to be able to lead others to the Lord, to be a witness, right? To build up the church, to bring them into the church, to build up and edify the church. That's what. And what's the church's job? By building up the church, we're getting the church prepared to what? Go out and do these things, to bring the people in. Let's take a look at what the Lord's trying to show us here. If you'd read the next, number two there, Sharon, please.
Acts 2:38. Peter replied.
No, read that. Start with the part I've got underlined or highlighted pink.
In
orange,
pink.
Mm-hmm. I'm colorblind. You know the way you see me on Sunday, the way I dress. You know I'm colorblind, right?
Pastor Don, look.
Yeah, it's all pink.
Yeah.
All gifts come from and through the Holy Spirit. Acts 2:38. Peter replied, "Repent and be baptized." Every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Hebrews 2?
No. Is there another one? No. Yeah. Yes.
Hebrews 2:4. God also testified to it by signs, wonders, and various miracles, and by gifts of the Holy Spirit distributed according to His will.
Thank you. According to his will. No one in here got to pick their gift. Pastor John didn't get to pick pastor as a gift. He didn't get to pick music as a gift. See, if it's a gift, he always had that ability in him. Do you think he didn't learn to play music till he got saved? You've always had that gift, right? Pretty much so. And I've always not had it. Because that gift was from God. It's obvious now. It wasn't obvious at first when he was playing in the rock bands and stuff, right? But it was a gift that God gave you, and he knew what it was going to lead to down the line. In the womb, God didn't say, excuse me, what gift would you like? Because if it did, I'd ask for music, because I'd be good at that. I could stand up there and look all pretty and sing and stuff. I'd be so happy. But, you know, we always covet somebody else's gift. What's that? The grass is always greener on the other side. No matter what gift you have, you always think it'd be better to have somebody else's. Because Pastor John always said, well, you know, if I would play music, I don't have to do nothing. Do a Bible study, I got to study for hours. You know, this is a lot of work. If I could be in music, all I got to do is walk in here and start singing. I don't see the hours that he puts in playing, the hours that they come in and practice, right? We just see him on Sunday and, you know, we think that God just made him perfect, right? But we always think somebody else's gift is more important. And the word there is telling us there's no gift more important than the other. Whatever your gift is, use it. Don't covet anybody else's gift. And don't deny your own gift. We always want to deny our own gifts, right? Right, Nancy?
Bob, I was thinking in the book.
Sharon, hold on.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Pastor, yes.
You have a gift. Get the microphone over here. You know, going along that line that we think our gift is insignificant, we read in the scriptures about Dorcas who died. And then when they got Peter, and they bring Peter into this room, and they're all crying, but then they begin showing Peter the garments that this woman had made. And, you know, you wouldn't think, well, hey, you know, that was an important thing, but it was... You know, it was a gift. She used it to bless the people in the church. She was well respected because she functioned in that gift. I was thinking, you say, you know, see somebody who's very gifted. The Bible says they're not going to stand before ordinary people; they're going to stand before kings. And you find out what your gift is. And she just used it for the glory of God. And she was so important to that church. She got brought back to life. And that was, you know, she wasn't the preacher. She wasn't the worship leader. She wasn't this, but she was somebody who blessed the saints. In whatever gifting, you know, in whatever capacity. And I know, Ray, I go back to this all the time. He showed a film clip from that movie, 300.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it's got the warriors, the 300 warriors of Greece, meeting the other warriors that came from all different parts of Greece. And the one guy says, you know, what do you do? And the guy says, well, you know, I'm a, what were the different guys? One was a blacksmith, one was a potter, and I think the other one was... The bakers, yeah, something like that. And, you know, when you watch it, and the other guys, you know, they all shout, what are you men? And they're, we're warriors, you know. And you have a tendency to overlook those guys' gifts. But he said it, and I like it. He said, you know, where would that fighting unit be without the blacksmith that could sharpen the swords? Or the cook that could make the food? Or the, you know, and so all the gifts flow together. And that's why Paul says, you know, the ones that you deem not that important sometimes can be the most important one for the success of a local church or for the body of Christ in an area.
You notice those beautiful banners we have up? Who made those? She's the only one? Mary? Mary Kostelnik. We've had some gifted ladies in here. She's passed away now. But look what a legacy she left this church. Well, all I can do is sow. Well, sow with all your heart to God. And look how many people those banners have touched.
Ray Maldonado got saved when he came and he saw, you know, and Carmen's not here, but, you know, when he came in for the first time, he saw one of those banners and it so stuck in his spirit, you know. And Mary, I don't know if she had died before he began coming. I
believe she had,
yeah.
Yes.
So
yes.
He never even knew who she was.
No.
But like you said, the legacy she left helped usher someone in because of that particular scripture, the beauty of the banner, and what she did.
We had, everybody remembers Josh, and I think he was 8 years old when he died of cancer. And we think, well, what a waste. An 8-year-old child dying. That young boy touched more lives in those 8 years than most of us ever will. So it's not the time and it's not what your gift is, right? It's that you have that gift and it's there. Use it, because they're going to feel God through your gift. You can't use anybody else's gift. I mean, honestly, I can't get up and sing. There's people that can't teach. Does that mean that they're of no value? Absolutely not. Everybody has a gift. If we all had the same gift, if everybody was a teacher, we'd all be up here, right? Poor Fred's the only one that ain't a teacher. He has 18 people teaching him, right? And the Word is telling us there that he disperses the gifts. A good, healthy church is one that has all the gifts, right? There might be some leanings that I've mentioned before because of Pastor John being the head of the church and his love for music. We've always been blessed that people with music ability are drawn here because of him. The same way with Pastor Don, his love for the Word. We have more teachers here than most churches 5-10 times our size do not have the great teachers we have here, both men and women. And that's to do with the spirit they bring to the church. But everybody has a gift. Read the next one, please. 3.
Everyone has gifts. 1 Corinthians 7:7. I wish that all of you were as I am, but each one of you has your own gift from God. One has this gift and another has that. Romans 12:6. We have different gifts according to the grace given to each one of us. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith.
There again, it's saying that there's many great gifts, even though some, maybe two people have the same gift. Ed and I have a bit of a prophetic gift, right? I might be a little bit better at it because I'm older and did it longer, right? That's why they're saying by your faith. Yes, especially the older part. But I know as he grows, he's going to get greater and greater at his gift, right? He's a lot further ahead at his age than where I was. He's going to be a lot better at it. But our gifts, by the faith, meaning that wherever we're at that time, to step out in it. Whatever faith God has given you to step out in that gift, step out in it. Right, Ed? All right, read the next one, honey, please.
In Romans 12:6, it says, according to the grace given to each one of us. And that grace is a supernatural power given by the Holy Spirit to help us to understand who God is and what he wants to do with us in our lives. But it's also an empowerment to do what he wants us to do. He doesn't send us out without equipping us. And then he stands there and encourages us as we do it.
Amen. God sends you out. His word is not going to ever come back void. You might not see anything happen, but you would be surprised how we hear years later people come back and tell us how a simple prayer or something touched their lives, a simple word that they said was baloney at the time, come back years later and said, wow, that was God, you know? Sometimes we don't know that. I guess God brings it back sometimes because we need to hear that. But it's not the idea of what we do. All our job is to be used. The reaction of that the person is not our responsibility. Our only responsibility is to be obedient and do what God asks us. Read the next one, please, honey.
Pray for gifts. 1 Corinthians 12:31. Now eagerly desire the greater gifts. 1 Timothy 4:14. Do not neglect your gift, which was given you through prophecy when the body of elders laid their hands on you.
Hold, stop right there.
Okay.
How many people here are members? Raise your hand. How many of you remember that you were sit in? Some of you are so old, it wasn't even, you were sit in before there was a building. But everybody, a lot of, our own way. All right. Let's go with somebody a little more relevant. Young lady. Do you remember being set in? What happened? The elders, the pastors took you up to the front. Oh, I'm sorry. Give her the mic. Here, we're just talking. I'm having a good time.
Now if I mess up, it's like I'm recording. They called us up to the front, and they anointed us with oil. Mm-hmm. And the pastors prayed, and the church, the members of the church were there, too, and they prayed. and then whoever had a word would come up.
A word about what? It was usually about gifts and stuff like that,
yeah.
Callings on your life and abilities you had, wasn't it?
Yes.
God is showing you that people had, she presented herself to be a member of this body. God is showing her how she's going to be used. Some of those, sometimes the words that are spoken, they've never, I don't know about that. Like again, we say years later, they'll come back and say, like Fred, Bob, I'll do anything around here, but I ain't never going to teach. No, I remember you saying that more than once. I'll do anything, but I'm not, I can't, Bob, that's not me. I can't get up. Ed, don't laugh. Same way, had to push Ed up there a little bit. Brother, you got a gift for teaching. Bob, I think you missed that one. Everybody has a word over them like that for a gift. Everybody has a gift.